But right now, people will know that for the next few weeks in the hard shoulder, that we're discussing something a little bit different, as we have been for the last couple of weeks. Given that it is Lent, we're asking the question, what's it all about? Really, that's the question we're putting just to listeners and to guests. And the guest this evening to answer that question, or to try and answer it, or to tease it out a little bit, is the famous Sister Stan. Sister Stan, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Kieran. Thank you.
I suppose most often when you're in a studio like this, we're chatting about, most recently, about homelessness and about all the work you're doing. And we might get onto that, issues around that in a few minutes. But we might start with, I suppose, to get maybe a fuller picture of yourself and your life, of your own journey into the church and your vocation. Tell us about that.
Well, I come from West Kerry. I come from Lispole near Dingle. And when I was going to schools, secondary schools particularly, I suppose I was aware that there were differences between people, between families, between children. There were some children and families could afford to send them to secondary school. There was no free education then, and other families couldn't. And I was aware that there was a difference between people who had something and who didn't. For example, people who had a farm or who had a shop or something, they were different, from seen as different from people who were farm labourers or whatever they were. So I noticed that difference, and I used to ask my mother about it, and she used to kind of dismiss my questions, and she'd say, you go on studying and you'll be fine, and once you're educated, you're fine. Education for her was the key thing. So anyway, but when I was finishing school, I was still conscious of that, and I was wondering what I could do about it, and I read a bit about it, about particularly in other countries, like about children being poor. And I, my sisters had gone to study as teachers and nurses, and I was the youngest girl, and I wanted to work more directly with poorer people. And at the time, there wasn't social work. It wasn't possible to do social work in Ireland. It didn't exist in the universities. So I heard about the Sisters of Charity, that they worked particularly with the poor. And I went to see them. And I was very impressed with what they did, because they worked directly with the poor in their homes, and they did a lot of work with children, and they also had teaching and nursing. But they just particular emphasis on working with poorer people, and I was impressed with them. So I then joined them. So I suppose I joined them in order to work with the poor, you know, but I stayed for a different reason. Once I got immersed in the spiritual life, that's really, I suppose, why I stayed. But
so you were, I suppose, if we call it the calling to God, you know, it came after you joined the order. Would that be right?
Well, kind of like that. But I suppose what I think is, it was God's way of calling me.
Okay.
That I probably wouldn't have gone the more direct way. I was kind of lured into it, you know. And once I got into it, then it was a way of life for me.
If you were at that stage now where there is opportunities to work, as you know, in social work or community outreach with organisations like your own, or with the Peter McFerry Trust, or with anything right across the country, huge different variety you can work in with people in disadvantaged communities, you might you ever have made your way into religious life?
It's very hard to answer it, but I suppose I wouldn't, to be honest, you know, because there are the opportunities there. And furthermore, the religious life has changed a lot. I mean, there are very few people joining religious orders now. We have six novices. They're in Africa. We have no novices in Ireland. So I suppose I wouldn't. It's hard to know. I mean, if you look at the way I went, the direction I went kind of sideways into it. And maybe I would have gone maybe more to be a lay missionary or something like that. I really don't know what I can't put myself in the situation.
Yeah.
If I was young now.
Do you ever wonder what your life would be like if you hadn't gone into the order? You must at some stage over the years.
Oh, yeah. I have wondered, and I wondered, was it the right place for me? I suppose you say yes once, you have to say yes more than once. But, I don't know what I've done. I suppose I was always drawn to work with the poor and have a real kind of empathy if I see people who are deprived or who are poor or who are homeless. It really affects me. So I think I would always have been drawn in that direction.
Okay, so large aspects of your life might have been the same.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes. Yeah, but it mightn't have been as a nun. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I remember a few years ago letters that Mother Teresa had sent to, it would have been Pope John Paul II, I think, at the time, were published. And in it, she talked about her faith being shaken and doubts she had. Mm. And I kind of remember the coverage of it, a bit, kind of a sense of surprise from some people that she was this... I suppose she was the epitome maybe of the type of work that you do, that kind of that outreach work from someone who's in a religious order. When you saw that, or when you read those letters, were you surprised, or did you kind of recognise, well, actually, that's perfectly normal. If you devote your life to something like this and to a religious order, it's normal that there's times that your faith kind of wobbles a little.
Oh, I think it is normal. I think it wouldn't be normal to sail through with no questions at all, or no stumbles, as you put it. I think it is normal. I suppose for some people it's more difficult than others. And I suppose people were surprised by Mother Teresa because she's such a strong, strong face. Mm. And she was special. But there's no doubt times come in your life and in my life, you know, when I would have doubts about different things, questions about a lot of things.
Do you still have them?
Yes. I would have a lot of questions now about the church, for example. The church, as you know, is getting smaller and smaller, and in this part of the world anyway. And I suppose what I feel is that in my time, the Second Vatican Council happened, you know, which was 63, 64, that kind of time. And that put forward a lot of changes, particularly changes with regard to the involvement of lay people, particularly with regard to the church having a preferential option for the poor, and all that. And I was in Kilkenny at the time. I was very lucky. I was working with Peter Birch, Bishop Birch, and he was a young bishop.
I'm from Kilkenny, so I had Bishop Birch Place and the likes, and actually my granddad carried his coffin at his funeral. Same name as me, Kieran Cuddihy.
I know, I sure remember Kieran very well.
Yeah.
So he was very special, and during that time, and Kieran will, and Dr. Forrestal, they will remember well that time, with the activity of the church and the wonderful activity and the real feeling that people were involved and that there was a place for everybody, whether it was young or old, rich or poor, disabled or abled. So there was a real sense of church. And then I left, Bishop Birch died suddenly, and I came to Dublin. And so the church has really, I think, regressed over the years, in the sense that involvement with the lay people, and now I hear a lot of people talking about the number of the priests are going down, the number of nuns are going down. That isn't the issue. I think the issue is the number of lay people aren't participating. The priests, that'll take care of itself. But there is a distance between the church. So I have lots of questions about that. And I think unless it radically changes and really is transformed, truly transformed, then there will be a very small church that will be quite insignificant.
Yeah.
It won't be bringing the good news in the sense of it'll be kind of on the side. Whereas even if it was small, but it was significant in the sense that it is a very clear message, I'd be quite happy with that. So I have a question around that.
Yeah, I suppose my own lay involvement with the church would have been as an altar boy growing up, and struck when you go to Mass now that you see so few altar boys and altar girls, altar servers, as you say, now that, you know, they're much rarer, that, you know, you would have different teams at different Masses in the one parish when I was younger. Like, is part of that pulling away maybe from the institution by lay people, do you think, a bit of resentment at the role of women in the church, or the lack of the role of women?
Well, absolutely. It's the lack of lay people, lack of women, all that. I mean, it is, to me, it's strange that those things haven't changed and that we didn't see it coming. And it's coming more and more all the time. Unless there's a radical change now, it's going to die. It'll rise again in another form, but it'll take time.
Do you find, and you talk, say, about some of the doubts and some of the misgivings you have, maybe about the direction of the church after those few years of positivity after Vatican II, do your doubts or your uncertainties get amplified, or do they get quieter as you get older?
I think they get amplified. Maybe for some people, they're lessened. I suppose when you reach my age, you're a lot freer about what you think and say, really. You know, whereas for you, when you're younger, you're a bit more careful, maybe. Well, I wasn't too careful, maybe, most of the time. But I think you're wiser, and you have a wiser look at things, and you have a broader look at things.
So before I let you, I'm conscious of the time. I'd love if you could stay here for the rest of the hour. We could chat about this. But what then, if you were imagining what the church looks like in 15, 20 years' time in Ireland, what does it look like?
Well, unless it changes radically, really, with an openness to women and an openness to lay people, and particularly a preferential option for the poor. You know, the church attendance now is mostly middle class. And that tells you a lot. So unless it changes, then I do think the church will get smaller, less significant, and won't be able to bring the good news as we were meant to bring it.
All right. Well, on that note, Sister Stanislaus Kennedy, Sister Stan, as people will know you, thank you very much for coming into the Hard Shoulder today. Stay with us here in the show. We're going to be back in a moment.